السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. My dear brothers and sisters, today we will speak about a topic which is a fundamental, foundational topic with regard to Islam, and that is the connection between the Quran, the Sunnah, and our lives. What is this connection? Why is this connection important? What must we do in order to maintain this connection? And what must we do in order to ensure that this connection is never broken? The connection between the Quran, the Sunnah, and our lives. I want to remind you and myself that a car runs because of a process which consists of three integral parts which are interrelated and they produce motion, locomotion. A car has the engine, which is the powerhouse and generates energy. This energy is conveyed by means of the transmission system to the wheels, which take the car forward. So there are three parts to this process of locomotion in a car or a locomotive or train or whatever. There is a powerhouse, which is the engine. There is a system of transmission of power, which is the transmission system. And then there are wheels. And the wheels drive forward. Now if you think about it, if any one of these three things fail, then there is no forward motion. Obviously, if the engine doesn't work, there's no energy. If the engine is working, you have got a huge, very powerful engine which is working perfectly, but the transmission does not connect, the engine will just race and burn itself out. And if you have an engine and transmission and you don't have the wheels, again, there is no forward motion. This example which I'm giving you, in my view, serves to illustrate the whole matter of the life of a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind for his ibadah. I want you to just reflect on this one thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created mankind to remove the garbage of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that I have created mankind only to remove garbage. And all our lives we would have spent removing garbage, and that would have been the purpose of our existence. Allah did not send us for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for the highest of all purposes, which is to connect with Him. And He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Think about this. Just think about this. Don't just read the Quran. Think about the meaning of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this thing? How many times have we heard this ayah? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah has created us for ibadah. No purpose other than ibadah. How many of us have read this ayah and fallen in sajda and say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That you created us for a purpose which is so high that there is no purpose beyond this purpose. Islam does not consider any caste system. There is no caste system in Islam. But if you think about the caste systems which are there in other religions and other cultures, who are the people who are at the top of the caste system? The priests. The priests. Have you ever thought about this? Who are the people at the top of any caste system? The priests. Now those caste systems are false. Those priests are false. Their religions are false. I am only giving you this as an example to show that even in cultures which do not recognize Allah, even in cultures of shirk and kufr, the one who they think connects them to Allah, they give him the highest position. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make Islam with a caste system. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He created all of mankind. For what? To worship Him. And alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us that recognition of who He is. How can you worship Allah if you do not recognize who is Allah? How can you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do not even know who Allah is? But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that recognition. He helped us to know who He is. And therefore, our job is not only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other people. Now, in order to fulfill this purpose of our creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first removed all anxiety for everything else from our shoulders. See the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you say, illa liya'budun, then you say, well, how do I eat? What do I do? What about my family? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed all of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ma uridu minhum min rizqin wa ma uridu an yut'imun. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I don't ask you to feed me. I do not seek provision from them, or for myself, or for my creatures, nor do I ask that they should feed me. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-provider, رَزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, and He is the owner of power and the most strong. So now that we have accepted the purpose of our creation, and remember we did that, whether we did that knowingly or unknowingly, may Allah give us the tawfiq to do that consciously when we said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. We accepted the purpose of our creation. It's therefore important for us to accept this purpose of creation knowingly and consciously. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called and we said, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And when we did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His book. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the powerhouse. Remember my example of locomotion, my example of a car. Three parts, the engine, the transmission, and the wheels. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the engine, it is the powerhouse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about His book, which contains the blueprint of success in this world and the next. I ask you, my brothers and sisters, what objection can anyone have if someone is giving them a blueprint of success in this world and the next? Think about that. How can anyone object to that? We are not asking anything from anybody else. We are giving it to them free. And giving what? A blueprint of success for this world and the next. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this question, and He said, do you deny this risk which is coming to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Quran is risk. The kalam of Allah is risk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ تَنزِيلٌ مِّن رَّبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَفَبِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنتُم مُّدْهِنُونَ وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ سؤال الله سبحانه وتعالى is asking this question. وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Allah said, this is the Quran, the noble recital, Quranul Kareem, fi kitabil maknoon, and it is well guarded in Allahul Mahfuz with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَحَرُونَ. No one can touch it except those who are purified, which are the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, this is the Quran, this is the revelation from your Rabb. And is this what you deny? Ajib. May Allah give us the tawfiq to understand what is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This kalam is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the criterion between right and wrong, haram and halal, in order to judge the lives of our world. And he said, Tabaraka alladhi nazzala al-furqana ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira. Allah said, glorified and blessed be the zat of him who sent down the criterion, the furqan, on his abd Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that he may be a warner to al-alameen. لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that the Quran is for all of mankind, not only for the Muslims. And that it's a source of guidance and a criterion to separate right from wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the month in which the Quran was sent down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased the rewards of ibadah performed during that month. Today's Fajr reminder is on some of those things. So listen to that. And he said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. The month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proof for the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. He subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla said that his word has no doubt in it. And that if anyone other than he had produced this kalam, then it would be full of contradictions. He said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And he said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَبَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. And 15 centuries later, this challenge of the Quran holds true, and insha'Allah al-musta'an, it will hold true till the day of judgment, insha'Allah. He ordered people to reflect on it. And those who do not reflect, he said, are there locks on your hearts? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. He said, this kalam is perfect and that he would protect it. إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. He said, verily it is we who have sent down this dhikr, and surely we will guard it from corruption. He taught us the adab of listening to the Quran. وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِيتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. He said, when the Quran is recited, listen to it and be silent. Don't do other things. Don't talk about other things. Listen to it in silence, that you may receive mercy. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. He challenged all doubters and said that if all of them came together, they would not be able to produce a book like the Quran. قُلْ لَيْنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. He said, say, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, say that if mankind and jinn join together to produce the like of this Quran, they will not be able to produce something like that, even if they help one another. He mentioned the power of the Quran, and he said, وَلَوْ أَنَّا قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَا بِهِ الْمَوْتَى. In Surah Ra'd, he said, if there had been a Quran with which mountains could be moved from their places, or the earth could be cloven asunder, could be split apart, or the dead could be made to speak, it would not have been other than this kalam. And he said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. And he said, had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, you would surely have seen it humbling itself and rending asunder by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such are the examples which we put forward to mankind that they may reflect. Finally, we are talking about the powerhouse. We are talking about the one, the engine which generates energy to create the locomotion. And finally, he, Jalla Jalaluhu, said, he taught us the correct attitude with respect to the Quran. And he said in Surah Al Imran,
هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ.
Allah said, it is He who has sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, the Quran. In it are ayat that are entirely clear. They are the foundations of the book, and those are the ayat of al-ahkam, the faraid, the hudud, and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in it there are ayat which are mutashabihat, which are not entirely clear. So as for those in whose hearts there is a disease, there is a deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof, seeking fitna, seeking confusion and trials, and seeking for hidden meanings, ta'wilat. But none knows the hidden meaning save Allah. None know the hidden meaning save Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, may Allah make us among those. They say, we believe in the Quran, in it, the whole of it, all the ayat, the muhkamat, wal mutashabihat, and we believe that all of them are from our Rabb. And Allah says, and none receive admonition and warning except people of understanding. And what do they say? They say, O our Rabb, let not our hearts deviate from the truth after you have guided us and grant us mercy from you. Truly, you are the bestower of all mercy. And they say, O our Rabb, truly you will gather. It is you who will gather all of mankind together on the day about which there is no doubt. La rayba fi. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never breaks His promise. Allahu la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the book of Allah, the Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the powerhouse that drives the Muslim to fulfill the purpose of his creation, in order to enable and empower him to do that which Allah sent His messenger with instructions on how to implement each of the rules. About His messenger now, we come to the transmission. We looked at the engine. We come to the transmission. And about that, about His messenger Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
Yasin والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yasin, by the Quran which is full of wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by his own kalam. Wal Quran il Hakim. And then what is he saying? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declaring after he takes this oath? Innaka laminal mursaleen. Verily and truly, you are one of the rusul, one of the messengers of Allah. Ala siratim mustaqim. And you are on the path of steadfastness, the path of righteousness, the path of guidance, the straight path. The correct translation of Siratul Mustaqim is the path of istiqamah, the path of steadfastness. We generally translate it as the straight path. A straight path is an understanding of Siratul Mustaqim. It's not the actual meaning of istiqamah. And I always remind myself and you, let us stick to the actual meanings of the words of the Quran. Let's not put our own mind into that. There is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, use the word istiqamah. Because Allah knows us. Today we are here, tomorrow we are somewhere else. So the istiqamah is gone. And it is istiqamah which is important. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if you do a small thing, do it, small good deed, do it continuously. Do it again and again and again and again. Don't try to worship the whole night, because that you will do one day. After that, what happens? Instead of that, pray 2 rakat tahajjud every day. And then if, biznillahi ta'ala, if he gives the tawfiq, increase it. But that 2 rakat, never leave it, as long as you live. Make sure that you at least pray 2 rakat of tahajjud every single day of our lives. You make this niyyah, inshallah, yeah? Having declared that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and that he is on the correct path of steadfastness and truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then ordered us to make dua also to be on this path. And he made this dua the essential part of salah, without which the salah is not valid. If we do not make dua that we want to be on the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our salah is not valid. What is this dua? First Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what? To declare that we are Muslims. And how do we declare that? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Anyone who is not an Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, he is not a Muslim. Anyone who is worshipping someone other than Allah is not a Muslim. Anyone who is joining someone with Allah is not a Muslim. So first declare that you are a Muslim. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And if you are a Muslim, then what do? You make dua to Allah for what? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. And then for further clarification, what is the sirat al-mustaqim? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim walad dallin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which is this sirat? He said, this is the way of those on whom you bestowed your grace. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Who are the an'amta alayhim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Who are the anamta alayhim? Who are the best of the anamta alayhim? The nabiyyin. Who is the best of the nabiyyin? Who is the imamul mursaleen? Who is the khatamun nabiyyin? Muhammad bin Abdullah. Al-Khuraishi wal-Makki. Imamul Anbiya. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us specifically. Now ask you, my brothers and sisters. In salah we stand and say, oh Allah, put me on the path which is the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we go out of salah and we deny his sunnah. Subhanallah, ajeeb, eh? So what is the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if it is not the sunnah? Is there something else you know? You tell me. Because whatever I learnt all my life from my shuyukh and from whatever I have read, I know that the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you think it is something else and if you have some other information, tell me please. Ajib. How the shaitan takes over the brain. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those who obey him and his messengers. And his messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will be with his messenger. Ma'alladheena an'ama Allah. My brothers and sisters, I ask you this question. Ask yourself this question. Specifically, look into your own heart and ask this question. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the choice and said, on the day of judgment, when you are resurrected before me, I will put you with whoever you like. Name the person, I will put you with him. Whose name will you take? Seriously ask yourself this question. Seriously ask yourself this question. Because a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that I should be with you on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will make the dua, but help me with kasratu sujood. Help me with putting your head on the ground before Allah. With salah. Ask yourself this question. Wallahi, today we have this opportunity. Allah has given this into your hand. You can choose who you want to be with on the day of judgment. Ask yourself and put the name down. You can be with anybody. You can be with all your smart friends who tell you to deny hadith, who tell you to deny the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who tell you that this sunnah is not important and that sunnah is small and that sunnah is big and Yawar Beg is one needlessly hard guy who only talks about beards and he only talks about hijab. And ignore Yawar Beg. No problem. Ignore Yawar Beg. Yawar Beg is not worthy of emulation. He is not worthy of being emulated. He is not worthy of being followed. I am saying this in your presence and you will be witness that I never asked anyone to follow me. I am asking you to follow Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I am asking you to ask this question to yourself every morning when you stand before the mirror with the razor in your hand. Who do I want to be with on the day of judgment? When you are resurrected and before that when you see Malakul Maut, you will remember me. And you will remember these words of mine. And you will either thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that or you will regret. Your choice. Your choice. I gain nothing by this and you are witness that I gain nothing by this. I'm saying it only and only because I love you and for the love of you. And for the benefit of you. Your choice. If I had the power, I would hold your hand. If I had the power, I would not allow you to shave your beards. If I had the power, I would not allow you to change your appearance from resembling the appearance of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is witness, I do not have this power. I am helpless and weak. And all I can do is ask you. And you are witness that I am a nuisance to you, that I ask you again and again and again. There are some of you who actually told me this in so many words. They said, don't you have anything else to talk about? The only thing you talk about is beards. And I told you, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? When a Muslim sits before me on the day of, in the masjid, and he has deliberately shaven the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his face before he came for Salatul Jummah. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to be blinded? Do you want me to deliver the khutbah with a blindfold on my eyes? Tell me, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to be true to my heart and to my Rabb? Or do you want me to seek your approval? Which one? My brothers and sisters, the Quran is the powerhouse. The Sunnah is the transmission. You can know this powerhouse by heart. You can be a hafiz and qari of the Quran. But if you do not have the Sunnah in your life, it will be like the engine running without the gear. The engine will run and it will do you no good. The car will remain standing and the engine will burn itself out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a living example to be followed. His life is the physical manifestation of the Quran. And that is why it is so important to study the seerah. For example, where will you look if you want to know how to obey Allah when he said aqimus salah? Where will you look when you want evidence to know how to perform Hajj? Where will you look for evidence and knowledge about how to do any of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you don't want to look for it in the sunnah? Is there some other place? Is there some other place other than the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? My brothers and sisters, Islam relates to every aspect of our lives, not only the ibadat. And alhamdulillah, we have the best example to follow in every aspect of our life. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ For whom? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed in the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example to follow. And this example is for whom? The one who hopes to meet Allah and who remembers and believes in the last day and who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. Zakar Allah kathira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly linked success on the day of judgment with following the sunnah of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who follow the sunnah will succeed and those who don't follow the sunnah will fail. It's very simple. There's nothing complicated about that. Allah called the obeying of his Nabi obedience to himself. That alone is proof for anyone who needs it. That whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered was from Allah. And that he never ordered anything as a result of his own desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ يُطِي الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا He said, he who obeys the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. But he who turns away, then we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a watcher over them. For those who are in doubt about that the ahadith are wahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى He said, by the star when it goes down. Remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath to say something, it underlines the importance of that thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the oath of the star, and for those of you who need this information, it is permissible for us as the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to take an oath by Allah, not by anything else. We can only say Wallah. We cannot take the oath by anything in creation. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the right to take an oath by anything he likes. And in some cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by himself. In some cases, by his kalam. In some cases, by various things in his creation which he considered to be worth taking an oath by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by the star when it goes down or vanishes, your companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has neither gone astray, nor has he erred, nor has he made a mistake, nor does he speak of his own desire. He does not speak of his own desire. He does not speak from his own hawa, from his own desires. It is only wahi that he has been sent with. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. What he says is wahi. Allah did not say what he says with regard to ibadat is wahi, the rest of it is his desire. Allah did not say that. In huwa, whatever he says, illa wahyun yuha, is nothing other than the wahi which has been sent to him. And for those who try another of shaitan's escape routes and claim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be obeyed only in matters of religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us that the whole of our life is a matter of religion. Because Islam is not relegated to some rituals of worship to be performed in masajid. Islam affects every aspect of our life. How foolish that we resist that which gives us true success in the dunya wal akhirah. I mean, how retarded is that? How stupid is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, He said, whatever my Nabi gives you, take it. And whatever He forbids you from, stop from it. And He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. He said, fear Allah, because Allah is severe in punishment. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about punishment as a continuation of taking whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives and stopping from whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped us from? Why is Allah talking about punishment? Because not to do so makes you and me culpable for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what He expects from us, and He made it clear that nothing short of total obedience is acceptable. And He took an oath by His own majesty, by Himself. And He said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجْ مِمَّا خَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He swore an oath by Himself, and He said, but know by your Rabb, they can have no faith, they cannot be Muslims, they cannot consider themselves to be Muslims, until they make you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a judge in all disputes between them. And not only do they accept your judgment, but they do not find even in their hearts any resistance against your decisions. And they accept those decisions with full submission. My brothers and sisters, I draw your attention and I remind myself, see the level of obedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering and demanding. It is not enough to accept the ahkam of the sharia, the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we say in Farsi, badilena khasta. I accept it, yeah, but you know, it is tough, what to do, anyway, I'm doing it. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, you accept it, and even in your heart, there should not be any resistance to it. Subhanallah, ajib. Even though you know and I know, that thoughts and whatever is in the heart is not culpable. It's not, we are not punishable for what goes in our minds and in our hearts. Then why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in this? That even in their heart there should be no resistance against the decision of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is to underline the importance of the sunnah. It is to underline the importance of the sharia. And notice, in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not mentioning His orders. All our great ulama-i kiram who tell people to deny the hadith and they call themselves Ahlul Quran, they should call themselves Ahlul Nar or Ahlul Shaitan. This is the Quran I'm reciting for you. This is not my kalam. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that they should not have resistance to my orders? He's not saying that. He is saying they should make you the judge and they must obey whatever you have judged. And they must not have even resistance in their heart to what you have ordered, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many proofs do you want? That the following of sunnah is fard ayn on anyone who calls himself a Muslim. And if a Muslim says or does by his word or by his action that the sunnah is not applicable to him, then according to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Muslim has placed himself out of Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they cannot have faith until they do this. It's an ayah shartiyah. There is a shart there. If you have faith, follow the sunnah. If you say sunnah is not applicable to me, you have no faith. My brothers and sisters, I am not saying to you that we are perfect, we are not perfect. But there is a difference in somebody who is unable to follow a sunnah because of some weakness or something. And he owns and accepts that this is my mistake, but I am weak, I will try to make an effort and I make tawbah. There's a difference between this person and somebody who deliberately breaks a sunnah. And someone who not only breaks a sunnah, but who tells others to break sunnah. And who tells others that the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are unreliable. That we don't have to follow them. There is a huge difference. And the difference is the difference between Jannah and Nar. The difference is the difference between Islam and Kufr. The difference is the difference between the forgiveness of Allah and the punishment of Allah. Beware and be clear of such people. Do not even sit with such people. Don't invite them. Don't accept their invitations. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do that, then you are with them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the standard for behavior for the believers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those who He called al-mu'minun. And He said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. He said, the only saying of the faithful believers when they are called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to judge between them is that they say, we hear and we obey. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And such are the successful ones. Humul muflihun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include among the people who are the muflihun. My brothers and sisters, truly the Sahaba understood the relationship between the Quran and the Sunnah. He understood the relation between the Quran and the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They understood the importance of following the Sunnah. Those of you who are still in a confused state of what Sunnah is important and less important, na'udhu billah. From the seerah we have the story of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Who is this Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? He is the one about whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says anything from me, take it. He is the man who Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi used the maximum in his fiqh. The narrations of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He is one of the katib of wahi. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is riding on his camel. And at one place in the road, he bends down completely on the saddle. He bends down totally, lowers his head. Somebody saw him, he said, why are you bending down? There is nothing to bend down for. He said, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive, there used to be a tree here. And there was a branch of this tree over this road. And whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went under this tree on his camel, he bent his head. So I am doing the same thing. Now tell me, the Sahaba were crazy or you were crazy? Which one? Somebody is crazy, obviously. Why is the man bending his head when there is no tree? Does it make sense to you? But think from your heart. Think from love, not from the brain. Think from love. Think from the hub of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba did what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did just because he did it. No other reason. No other reason. Tell me, how important is this sunnah compared to the sunnah of the beard, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only did, but he ordered specifically? How important is it? We have the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He had so many patches in his thob that the Sahaba felt embarrassed. And they went to Hafsa radiallahu anha, Ummul Mumineen, his daughter, the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said to her, please tell your father, don't dress like this. You know, at least get one new thob. And then they said, they knew Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And this is during his khilafah. So they said, don't tell our name. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was the one who was sent by others. So Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha, when she started talking to Sayyidina Umar about this, Sayyidina Umar got angry and he said, who told you to tell me? So she said, I will not tell you the names. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab turned to her. He said, tell me, what was the dress of your husband? He said, what was the clothing of your husband? Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha did not say anything, but she knew the answer, he knew the answer, they both knew the answer. And then Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, you know why I don't change this? Because I am afraid that if I do not follow his sunnah, Allah will not allow me to be with him. Allah will not allow me to be with my two companions. Who are they? Muhammad bin Abdullah wa Abu Bakr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhu. So did Sayyidina Umar know the deen? Or do you know the deen? Did Sayyidina Umar understand the importance of sunnah? Or do you understand the importance of sunnah? Who are you afraid of, Wallahi subhanallah ajeeb? Who are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? My brothers and sisters, the sunnah is an integral part of Islam. It is the transmission which transmits the power of the kalam of Allah into our lives. And therefore, let us see how does this connect with our lives. The best example for this is the Hadith Jibreel, where Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam and asked him about the basic foundational principles of Islam. He started with the first one of them, which is the entry point, the doorway, which is Islam itself. And he said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhbirni anil Islam. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْإِسْلَامُ أَنْ تَشْهَدَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَتُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ وَتُؤْتِيَ الزَّكَاةَ وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَانَ وَتَحُجَّ الْبَيْتَ إِنِ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, Jibreel asked him, what is Islam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is to make the shahadatain. Islam is to make the shahada, to bear witness that there is no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his nabi, and to establish salah, and to pay zakat, and to fast in Ramadan, and to make hajj if you have the means to do so. Man istata ilayhi sabila. The second question that Jibreel alayhi salam asked was at a higher level of belief. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, fa'akhbirni anil iman. Faqal, an tu'mina billah, wal malaikatihi, wa kutubihi, wa rusulihi, wal yawmil akhiri, wa tu'mina bil qadri, khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. He said, O Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi salam, inform me and tell me about iman. What is iman? What is faith? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, faith is to believe in Allah, in his malaika, in his books, in his anbiya and rusul, in the day of judgment, and in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good of it and the evil of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Jibreel alaihi salam asked him the last question, the essence of it all. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, fa akhbirni anil ihsan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقَالْ أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. He said, Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me what is ihsan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing him. And if you do not see Allah, know that Allah sees you. This hadith is the connection which shows the connection between the kalam of Allah, the transmission of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the wheels of our life. Imagine living your whole life as if we are standing before Allah, because we are standing before Allah. Imagine living your whole life and every transaction that we do with the consciousness and awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Imagine living this whole life with only one and only one thing and thought in our minds, and that is, does this please Allah or not? Imagine all our muamilat, all our akhlaq. Imagine the Muslim muashira, our dealings, our manners. Imagine the Muslim society focused only on one thing, which is to please Allah. Imagine what sort of iconic businesses you will create. What kind of iconic employers you will be. what kind of iconic employees you will be, what kind of iconic fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters you will be, what kind of iconic husbands and wives you will be, who are focused only on one thing, which is how can I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours of the day. Imagine the effect of this on the rest of mankind. Whoever comes into contact with you, what will happen to them? What will happen to their hearts? How will their hearts turn towards Allah? My brothers and sisters, I remind you, subhanAllah Ajeeb, that we have reached a stage where we only talk. I'm talking about myself. We have reached a stage where we only talk. Our amal and our aqwal have no connection with one another. I ask Allah to forgive me and I ask Allah to forgive you. Let us create connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why, my brother and sister, the sahaba understood the value of the sunnah. You will never find a sahabi who denied the sunnah, or who spoke disparagingly about the sunnah, or who considered anything in the sunnah to be unnecessary. Not one single sahabi ever said anything like that. The sahaba preserved the sunnah. They taught it to their students and they used it to give rulings in various matters. And above all, they practiced it completely in their lives. They understood truly and clearly that without the sunnah, there is no transmission of power from the engine and we will go nowhere. I will end with a beautiful hadith of the dua of a Bedouin sahabi, a student of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who one day sat and he was making this dua and he did not realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting behind him and he heard this whole dua. What a beautiful dua. The man began and he said, Oh the one who eyes cannot see in this world, who minds cannot comprehend his greatness, and people cannot praise him as he deserves to be praised, and who incidents do not change him. He doesn't fear the passing of time. He knows the exact weight of all the mountains in the world. He knows the exact volume of all the oceans in the world. He knows the exact number of drops that fall from the sky. He knows the number of leaves on all the trees in the world. He knows the number and detail of everything that the night hides in its darkness and the day illuminates with its light. The sky cannot shield one from Allah. The earth cannot hide one from Allah. A mountain in its deepest, darkest cave cannot hide anything from Allah. The ocean in its depth cannot hide anything from Allah. SubhanAllah. Build a connection with Allah. Learn to talk to Allah. Learn to talk to Allah. Because you worship a Rabb who hears. You do not worship a rock or a stone. You do not worship a concept of your imagination. You worship a Rabb who hears you. Learn to speak to Allah. And this sahabi, after glorifying the greatness and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he said, Allahumma ajal khayra umuri akhirahu, wa khayra amali khawatimahu, wa khayra ayyami yawma alqaka fih. Ajeeb. The man said, oh Allah, make the best part of my life the last part of my life. Make the best of my actions the last of my actions. And make the best of my days the day when I will meet you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. And he said he has made a good dua. My brothers and sisters, I ask this dua for you. And I ask it for myself. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him. And to protect us from that which displeases Him. And to give us the tawfiq and the courage never ever to do anything which is against the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make that niyyah before you get up now. That you will never disobey deliberately. You will never disobey the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am standing on the mimbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I am begging you. Make this niyyah for yourself. Subhanallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.